What is up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Surfing the Stream, where every week we're on a quest to find out what is the greatest movie of all time. I am Matt Primo, and I'm joined by Carmen DeSicchio.
DeSicchio, I like it.
And Corey Costa.
Did you say Dipshissio?
I didn't get this.
I like that one even better. Dipshissio. Yes. Yeah.
I'm so glad you caught that.
I like it. Yeah.
I wish I could have said it beforehand.
Dipshissio.
But guys, we are here to conclude our fourth annual Horror in Review series. This is the first time Miss Corey Costa has joined us for the Horror in Review series. Actually, it's like 3 years in a row, but it's like the fourth. I don't know. The math doesn't math for me, but it is what it is. This year, we are doing possession / haunting movies. One of my favorite subgenres, if not my favorite. So definitely excited to do our top 10 movies within that subgenre. Now, throughout the entire month, that's basically all we have watched. We have, and by we, I mean me, I've reviewed It Follows, The Exorcist. Shit, losing my train of thought already. I don't remember the movies we've already reviewed.
And I haven't even said anything yet.
It's going to be a shit show.
I'm listening. I was good.
This is going to be terrible.
I did not get around to Sinister. Did not get around to that.
Like any of them?
No, I meant to review it. I wanted to review it, but I didn't get to. I did watch it, though.
Okay.
Evil Dead, Evil Dead Rises, watched those movies. And then what was the fourth movie that I reviewed? I don't...
Exorcism of Emily Rose. Did you review
no.
that?
No, I didn't.
No, we just talked about...
Hereditary, that was it.
Hereditary.
Yes, okay. There we go. So yes, all month we've been reviewing and watching nothing but this subgenre, and it's gonna be interesting to talk about it, because one, we gotta start off with how we feel about the subgenre altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, how did we feel about watching nothing but these movies for at least 31 days? What about you, Corey?
I love haunting movies, and I love the demon aspect of it, so I love possession movies too. That's why this list was really hard to narrow down, because I really wanted to be like serious and be like, only gonna do really serious possession and scary haunting movies. And then I watched some really bad ones and was like, oh, but I kind of like it.
Carmen got a hold of you. That's what happened. Carmen got a hold of you.
Good.
It happens. I have yeah,
she has that effect on
me. Typically, for the people out there that have been following along with us for any length of time, Carmen and I have vastly different lists every single year. Vastly different. Mm-hmm. We might have one, maybe two movies on there that are the same. She usually veers off to the left field with hers.
Yeah,
I go
always,
a little bit
yeah.
more mainstream with mine, I think.
See, I think that me and Matt are going to have similar ones as opposed to Dipshissio down there.
Dipshissio. That's harder to say than my actual last name.
I know.
Right?
Carmen, what did you think? Okay, we know you like horror movies. Mm. What did you think about the review cycle, though? Did it live up to your expectations?
No. I honestly, when I was going through and I went through your list that you sent me, and I was like, nope.
God damn, you're tearing me down already.
No, it wasn't that. It was just that, like, because you remember the whole, like, list that I sent you? It was like, don't watch this. It's not as good as it is. And I, like, gave you a little, like, rundown of what happened, like, Norio or whatever it is. It started with an N. I can't pull up the message now.
Are you talking about like the Japanese version of The Ring or something?
Yeah, kind of. It was, yeah, that. And also, what was the other one? It was like a
I remember what, I don't remember what it was called. It was like,
yeah,
it's like Naria or something like that.
Yeah. And then there
it was
were
like, it was the Korean movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
And then there was another one that was the same. It was like either Vietnamese or Korean. It was like the found footage. They did like an interview or something with somebody that was possessed. I was like, don't bother. It's not worth it. And it wasn't. But yeah, I went through and you had good ones. You had a lot of good ones and a lot of good ones that I haven't seen yet. And I still have yet to see because I still haven't seen The Exorcism of God, which I wanted to watch it. But I'm too cheap to rent.
Don't do it.
Okay.
For the love of God, don't do it.
Face. Oh, all right. So I won't rent it then and watch it.
Good choice.
Okay. So okay. I have 31 movies ranked on Letterboxd for this particular review cycle. Okay. The Exorcism of God is ranked number 31.
Wow. That's.
I gave it half of a star.
Wow. That's wow. Yeah. Okay.
I really fucking hated that movie.
Jesus. Man. That was actually wow. The Exorcist, it can't be that bad. Is it really that bad?
I fucking
like
hated
the
it.
Alien movie, the ground, whatever alien movie that we watched that was absolutely terrible that I recommended everybody watch.
Okay, we gotta squash them because you keep saying, is it as bad as this movie? Look, there's no movie on the face of the earth that comes close to the Alien movie. Okay,
no,
like that's an unfair criticism.
It really is. I still get angry at myself for watching it, and I want to put everybody else in that same misery. So I have to, like, you have to watch it. It's so terrible. Like, it'll make you angry. It really does.
It's almost kind of like saying, is this movie as good as The Dark Knight? I mean, I don't think a whole lot of movies are as good as The Dark Knight. It's kind of like, but this is worse. So I think it's easier to make a shittier movie than it is to make a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It's hard to make a good movie, especially if you have like really bad acting.
So me personally, this is my favorite subgenre. I was super fucking excited to do this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like I liked about, I mean, I liked a majority of the movies that I watched for sure. I would say I liked 25 out of the 31 that I have ranked.
That's not too bad.
That's actually,
yeah, that's pretty good.
But I kind of expected more, you know, kind of expecting more. So that's kind of where my disappointment is just
you
a little bit for this.
You expected to like more or you expected more out of this subgenre?
Both.
Okay.
Like
okay.
when I did my ranking, like y'all over there saying, oh, this was difficult. Mine wasn't that difficult, to be honest with you. Like maybe the hardest part was trying to figure out what was number 10.
Okay.
And
I can't wait to see what y'all's number 10 is.
Yeah. So it's going to be very interesting when we get into this, into our top 10. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to go one by one, naming our top 10, back and forth. If one of these movies is on your top 10, we can go ahead and talk about it right then and there, and you can just say what number it was. As far as what gets included in this, so if someone gets possessed anywhere during this fucking movie, it gets counted.
Okay.
If there is some kind of demon involved, a house haunting, something is gets haunted and a demon, the devil, all that shit is involved, it gets counted. There is one movie on this list, on my list, that we may have to have a debate about, and we'll get to it eventually. But I will die on this hill that it deserves to be on this list.
Okay.
And Carmen probably already knows what it
so
is.
So it's the Geralt Ivysmore thing all over again, I think.
What? maybe.
Okay.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because Chris and I recorded the BioShock 2 review deep dive a couple weeks ago. And at the very end, I teased BioShock Infinite, and I said, my opinion for Infinite is going to be more controversial than the Venusaur versus Geralt segment on our podcast. This is going to make or break us.
It's going to be great. Good.
So yeah, those are kind of the parameters. We can kind of argue amongst each other with what we picked. I do know that I think we all agree that Insidious gets counted as one, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm cool with
that. Except 3 and 4. Those don't really count. I mean, they count, but they're like separate ones to me.
I feel like they all have what's her name in it, the little psychic lady. So I just count them all as one big bundle.
One big bundle.
Yeah. She was in the 4 of them.
She's in all of them.
She's in all of them. She may be like a ghosty, but she's in all of them.
Okay. I didn't know if they counted as ghosty things. Yeah. I like what you did there. I like that.
All right. So let me go ahead and pop open the girly drink. Let's get this fucking underway. Corey, we'll let you go first.
Mm-hmm. So 10 is my last pick, right?
Yep.
Making sure. All right. So I'm going to do number 10 is going to be Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, a newbie.
Yeah.
Newbie. All right.
We watched it the other night. And so the kid loves the game. I've never played the game because I'm a ninny and I don't like to have things jump out and scare me. And I know that it's a cartoon, but I really don't give a shit. So he was really wanting to watch it because he's like me. He rabbit holes into like the lore of everything. So he wanted to watch it and we watched it at like midnight 30 the other night, but whatever. And I liked it. Carmen, you watched it, huh?
I did. I just finished watching it. Yeah. I did. I liked it. And then it started getting like family time.
Did you hate the power of friendship part? Brayson didn't like that.
I did. I actually think I went out and smoked. I was like,
the only thing that Brayson liked about that part was when Bonnie like knocked herself out and fell over and then did the little thumbs up like that. He was like, that was the best part of the whole family equals love thing is when Bonnie fell over. Yeah. So, but I liked the concept behind it. He said it didn't follow the game lore, but
yeah,
I mean, I've never played the game, so
that's what I was upset about, was it didn't follow the game lore. I was like, if you're gonna make a movie, follow the game, you know, like, but nope, but power see, or fucking friendship.
I can argue that with pretty much any movie because of books.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but, I mean, if you want to go that route, you can't really like any movie that's ever been based on a book or a video game.
Yeah, well, Ender's Game was really, really close to the book.
Except Lord of the Rings.
That doesn't count. Because I can still pick out stuff that wasn't in the movies that really needed to be there.
Well, I mean, one of the books, like, if you actually made the movie, like play-by-play for the book, wouldn't it be like a Titanic-type movie?
Well,
like,
then it would have to be, you'd have to do it like they're, like, HBO wants to do the new Harry Potter series and do one whole season is one book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Like, they're breaking it down to get everything that the movies missed. So
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah.
The only issue with that is how many books are there? There's 8?
7.
7. There's 8 movies. That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll go with 7 years. I mean, if you find a kid that starts first year, the motherfuckers are gonna age quick. That's what happened to Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're gonna be all cute and cuddly, and then their balls drop like 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cute and cuddly.
Carmen, what is your number 10?
Smile.
That was a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
it was really, really good. It was freaky as shit. I liked it. Yeah.
So the reason why it made my list and it's number 10, I would have probably put it higher because I love the way they smile. That creepy catatonic smile is, yeah. And Kind of reminds me of Vinny when he tries to smile. It's trying because, you know, he doesn't really do it. But it's that. Have any of y'all seen Mr. In-Between? It's Australian. It's about a hitman that tries to like live a normal life kind of thing. But he's constantly getting in trouble because he gets mad at people that can't just be decent human beings. Like, just be a decent human being. And that's like he has a code. But the way he smiles at people, you can tell that he's about to fuck them up. You know? And the whole smile thing is like you can tell there's something there that's not them, you know? I just, smiles creep me out. Those kind of, I don't know, weird. I liked it though. It was creepy. And it's,
that was a movie that I'm going to have to give my second watch rule to.
Yeah.
I liked it, didn't love it.
Yeah.
It was enough to get 10. But I like the whole concept of it. So that was my 10.
So number 10 for me. Now, when I go through my list, these are not technically ranked in order of best movie. These are typically ordered in, with the exclusion of like one or two. I rank them in order of best, how they best fit the subgenre itself. So like my 10 and number 9, I don't think number 9 is better, a better overall movie. It just ends up being a better possession movie. But number 10, I have The Conjuring 2.
The second one?
The second one.
Okay.
Not as good as the OG movie for sure. It's a bit slower. Honestly, it's a bit beefier of a movie with it being 20 minutes longer. And that's really the biggest issue with the entire movie. But as far as possession and the horror aspects of the movie, really great. I think the characters are great and you really get attached to them overall. Even, I mean, the British side of it kind of throws me off and kind of takes me out of the movie a little bit, but it is what it is. No offense to the British people.
You don't like the British. You don't. It's a shame.
It's a shame. I do like the twist of you thinking it's like one particular demon, but then it's actually the nun in the shadows doing everything. And yeah, just really great horror elements throughout. It's really just the fact that it's 20 minutes longer than the other movie. And I will stand by the fact that I think every horror movie should be under 2 hours. Absolutely.
I can see that. Yep.
I'm looking at you, Midsommar, and your fucking 2.5 hour movie.
Right? It was a good movie, though, but it got
It was a good movie.
Like, you trim it. And, you know, I've had this discussion with Tyler. He's like, "What? Pick what scenes you would cut." I'm like, I don't fucking know what scenes I would cut.
I think it needs to be shorter. I think I would cut some of the mindless, like, tripping balls scenes.
Make those. Like, you could probably cut out, like, at least 30 seconds of each of them and, like, end up getting your half hour back. At least.
Yeah. Show me more scenes of people jumping off cliffs. That was cool.
Yeah. At a stoop. That's what it's called. Just, you know.
Nice. I like the useless knowledge there.
Right.
Corey, what is your number 9?
My number 9 is going to be the original Exorcist.
Ooh, just missed my cut.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited. I'm eager to discuss this movie with y'all. Carmen, is this on your list at all?
No.
It's not on my list either. So go ahead, Carmen. Corey, I don't want to steal your thunder here.
So I think the original Exorcist for me, I think that was kind of the first horror movie that I really ever watched. And I was little too. Like my mother, God bless her sweet soul. She's a huge Stephen King fan and she is a huge horror movie and horror genre fan. So she had no problem with me at like 6 years old watching really, really fucked up shit. And that's like I actually told her because she had, when I was like 11, I had read through like all the Goosebump books and she was like, "Here, read this book." And it was It by Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
And for an 11-year-old, that's probably not the best book to pick up and read. So when I reread it when I was like 22, I called her and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, these kids are having orgies.
I did. I was like, do you think there is an orgy in the sewer with 11-year-olds? I was like, I was 11, mother. I didn't even know what that was. And I was like, cool. I'm glad they're doing that. I'm really good for them. Good for them.
Power friendship.
So The Exorcist was probably the first like scary movie that I watched. And again, I was probably 9, 10. And it stuck with me. Like, that is a lot to take in as a 9-year-old. And just the split pea soup and the your mother sucks cocks in hell, like just all of that is it, when I think of a possession movie, that's immediately where my brain goes is The Exorcist. So yeah,
I think The Exorcist is a great, obviously it's the OG one, right? Like none of these movies really exist without The Exorcist.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So at least one of us has it on our list, right? The issue with it is I didn't grow up with it, and I've only seen it, I think this was my second time watching it. I just watched it for the first time like last year. So I didn't grow up with it, and I kind of compare it to the OG Halloween that came out in 79. Mm-hmm. Like if you go back and watch that movie today, the acting is pretty fucking bad. Like, it's not a great movie, but the horror aspects of it are really great. But there's a lot of like shit wrong with that movie. But I grew up with it. I watched it kind of like same age as you grew up with The Exorcist. I watched that movie since I was like fucking 9 years old. So like I can look past that shit and just absolutely enjoy it for what it is. But I don't have those beer goggles aspect to it with The Exorcist. I don't know, that's just the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But there are some great fucking scenes in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, fuck me.
Right. The guy was perpetually scared of a crucifix because...
Right.
There was a lot happening. There's a lot of shit happening.
Wow.
Yeah. Great movie. Doesn't make my list just because it's not something I would willingly go back to on a regular basis.
Yeah. I think that's why it didn't make my list, is because I've watched it so many times, it lost its feel, because I saw it when I was like 12 or 13, because I snuck and watched horror movies, so because I wasn't allowed. And Poltergeist and Exorcist were the two movies
that's
I watched.
Probably the two that I had too. Is Poltergeist and Exorcist. Yeah.
And Poltergeist, I was afraid of the dark for quite a bit, quite a while. Like anytime the lights would go out, I'm like, oh, somebody's behind me.
Poltergeist. I swear to God, if I ever have to see that movie again.
Yeah, it was creepy. But now now when I watch it and I'm like, I was afraid of that. Like
I was so scared of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, Carol Ann. I just now it's different. But
bruh, the Poltergeist is fucking Casper meets the Goonies.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I can't look at it and like it based on that.
Gotcha. But yeah. That's good. It was a lot scarier in the '80s.
For sure.
I remember watching as a kid and being scared of it.
Yeah, but now it's not. It's
not good.
It didn't survive time.
It didn't survive time.
Yeah. No, it didn't age well.
It did not age well.
It's like the alcoholic aunt. Just doesn't age well.
What's your number 9 there, Carmen?
Devil. That one's
Devil. A good
one. Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
It's about people stuck elevator. In an elevator. Yeah, that's what it is.
And somebody is possessed by the devil, and they have no idea who. Oh my God, it wasn't scary, like at all. But the fact that it just like it takes it. What is it? It takes like the basic part of what the devil is, you know, like what you learn from religion class and everything like that in the Bible, and puts it into a real life scenario. and you watch these people start, like, the accusations and the paranoia and the, like, you know, and they're all trapped in the elevator. And it's just, it's one of those really intense movies that's very entertaining, but not scary. But of the devil and what you learn about him, it's kind of, that's what's, that was, which was so good.
And you're suspicious of everyone. Like, and then the one you're like, oh, this, it's totally this guy. They're the next one that's dead. And you're like,
right.
Oh.
Oh,
my bad.
My bad, bro.
Maybe it wasn't him.
Like, that wasn't supposed to happen. So, yeah, it's, that one was, that would just keeps on. It was kind of like, if you think about, what is it? What's the, with the Red Wedding, what was the?
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, Game of Thrones. It's like you draw your own conclusions. You start liking people. You start going,
and,
okay. This
and
this
then
this
everyone this dies.
Yeah, then they're just dead, and we're like, oh well, okay, let's start over, let's do this again. And you start, you know, so you spend the whole time during the movie trying to, like, be Sherlock, and it's really suspenseful, and it's pretty good, it's pretty decent.
I'm gonna have to watch that, because I meant to watch that, I just didn't get around to it.
You definitely should. That's a movie worth rewatching too. Like, it doesn't, it's, I think I've watched it 3 or 4 times now, and every time I still like it the same. So it's not, you know, it made my top 10, but it, I mean, it's not higher than, you know, it's not going to be my top 5, but it still is, it's still entertaining every time you watch it.
So at number 9 for me, is going to be Evil Dead Remake. Yeah, if I had to choose out of all the Evil Deads, Remake is definitely my favorite. It's essentially kind of like the OG one, just kind of changes the characters a little bit and some of the circumstances, but basically the same plot. It's a perfect blend of horror and comedy, aka not as much comedy for me. Like I said, if y'all have followed the podcast for any length of time, then y'all know that, like, Carmen, you love the comedy in your horror. I absolutely do not. I typically hate most comedic horror movies. This is just the best version of the series, in my opinion. It has lots of gore, a little bit of humor from the absurdity of the deaths. Not a ton of character development, but I mean, who goes to this movie for character development, right?
Yeah.
We kind of here for the same possession and slaughter, which I think this kind of works really well as a possession movie, as the demon goes from body to body. So it's a little bit different of a possession movie than some of the other ones on my list. It does something different, you know. It goes from body to body, killing one person after the other. And I thought I had a lot of fun with this one. I really did. Now, Evil Dead Remake Rises. I liked it. I still liked it more than the other movies, but I don't know. I did not like the characters whatsoever, and it kind of turned me off of that movie. And it also wasn't very, like, the deaths just weren't that great, honestly. But overall, I really do enjoy Evil Dead Remake, and I ended up reviewing it for this review cycle, so y'all can go check out that review as well. Have we still not talked about a movie? Like, we've all had, like, different movies on our list so far. It's kind of,
what are you doing, Carmen?
Vinny just came in the room.
Okay.
Then yeah, that's a helicopter to you.
Well, he did actually.
Yeah.
I was like, I muted
You're
myself.
Blushing.
I muted myself real quick, and I was like, I'm on video. He was like, oh, okay, good. And he just went, smoke. And I was like, so yeah, that just happened.
He's probably like the rest of us. You ain't gonna see nothing.
All right. Yeah, we don't have any of the same movies.
Not yet. No.
Mm-mm.
What is your number 8 there, Corey?
Okay, so here's where mine kind of gets weird. My number 8 is going to be Event Horizon.
Oh, as a haunting movie?
It was technically
a possession movie. He gets possessed in the end.
He does.
And the whole, The whole ship is haunted. It's not aliens. They're haunted.
Yeah, they go in and out of the dimension of hell.
So I'm going to go with Event Horizon.
She's right. Okay.
Let me counteract your point for just a second.
Okay. This is okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I forgot that movie was included in this discussion, but I remember at the very beginning, I had made the decision to not include it because I included it in last year's top 10.
Oh, okay.
For aliens.
But they're okay.
But it's in space.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll give you that.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, fuck, this kind of deserves to be on this list instead of that list.
Carmen,
fuck, this is all messed up now. God damn it. Whatever. I stick by my list.
I stick by my list. Okay.
But go ahead. Talk about the movie.
Yeah. No, I love Event Horizon. I think it's the perfect. The acting is actually really good. And I love the fact that it is, like Carmen said, that they're traveling through different dimensions to get to hell, and then at the end the gore of the eyeballs all not there, and I like it. I can't say anything bad about that movie. It's a little cheesy, but I love that movie.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you there, Carmen?
Carmen's muted because Vinny is in the room.
Yeah, I was muted for a little bit. What are you doing?
Number eight, right? Yeah, eight.
Oh, okay. Willy's Wonderland.
Love it.
Yes.
I haven't watched it, but I love the theory.
It didn't make the top five, but it was just to watch Nick Cage not speak the entire time and still be a badass, and just it was really good. I thought it was okay. I'm sorry, Vinny, again. Yeah, they can hear you.
Tell him I need you focused.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things.
He's holstering himself, he said.
Look, we'll save that for afterwards.
Right.
We have plenty of time for that.
Right. So, no, okay. So, yeah, Willy's Wonderland. Willy. Jesus.
Shout out.
Right? No, it was, I thought it was really good. I thought it was worth rewatching. It's one of those entertaining movies that I could probably watch over and over again and still laugh every single time and still enjoy the movie every single time. The whole haunted animatronics, awesome. It was better than Five Nights at Freddy's because I don't like that family time, holding hands bullshit. I hate it. Hate it so much. I do. But this one was good.
No, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I enjoyed the humor in that, and that's saying something coming from me. Nick Cage was badass, and he was sexy with that beard.
Very.
Everyone's better with a beard.
There's something about beards.
True. God, I hate that you're right about that. Yeah.
God, I hate that you're right about that.
It's great. It's
so number eight for me is very much an unconventional choice for my list. Okay. It definitely has a little bit of a different flair to it in comparison to the rest of the movies on here. And that is Get Out. Absolutely. Do what?
Are we calling that possession?
It's possession. So they do the little hypnotic shit.
Yeah.
And then they're transferring the white people into the black people's bodies.
Right. No, I mean, I'm I had Event Horizon, so you can have Get Out. I'm okay with that.
It's a scientific possession, if you think about it. It's more of a than religious. So it's just,
it's all about technicalities here. And this is technicality. so like I said, while it is technically speaking, probably a better movie than probably a couple of others on this list. It just doesn't hit the horror elements as quite as strong as some of the others on my list, which is why it's a little bit lower. But it's still a really great movie through and through. And it does have some, like I said, unconventional possession type qualities to it. It's transferring consciousness into another body kind of way. And like I said, I'm going to get by on technicality here.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, that does count because, I mean, if you think about it, the person that's being possessed still is in there.
They're just
Yes, I think that's what happens is the guy's like, help me kind of thing.
I will never argue with you about a Jordan Peele movie. I think he's phenomenal.
He does really good. He was surprising. That was, yeah.
Nope. So good.
So yeah. Good.
What was it?
Nope.
Nope. That was the alien
one.
Oh,
yeah. That was, I like that.
No, I'm not going to lie. The first time that I watched Get Out, I was not I was like, I don't get what the fucking hype is about this movie, right? But I have a two-watch rule for this fucking reason. And I watched it again. I'm like, well, goddamn, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I end up watching all three of his movies. And what is it? Us?
Us.
Not as good, but I still really, really like that movie.
Yeah.
That Corey, what about number seven for you? Oh, what'd you say, Carmen?
I have to rewatch Us again because that was a good movie.
I feel like I should shout out that comment, but I'll just move on. Corey?
Good God. So number seven is the one that I said I kind of watched from high school and was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. It's going to be Idle Hands.
Oh, my God, yeah. I forgot about that movie. Oh, that's funny. I don't think Matt's ever seen it.
I don't even know what that is. I haven't even heard of it.
So, yeah. So it's Devon Sawa and who else is in it? Seth Green is in it. And basically Devon Sawa's hand gets possessed. Just a hand. And it starts killing people. It kills his parents, and he ends up like cutting it off with like a turkey carver, like a little electronic carver. And then the hand comes alive. It is definitely a comedy. You would probably not like it, but it's hilarious. Like, and it's so like late 90s, early 2000s cheesiness that just that. But I mean, the hand is possessed, so it
counts. It's like an American Pie cheesiness.
It is. It's like an American Pie cheesiness, but and I didn't think about it, and then I was like, I just randomly, I was like, odd possession movies, and like it was the third one. I was like, oh my God, Idle Hands. Yeah, now I gotta watch it. That's fucking phenomenal.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great one too. Yeah.
Carmen, what about you?
What number are we on?
Seven.
Insidious, the first one.
Ooh, too low.
Yeah, way too low.
Well, I don't know. I do.
Wait,
like
hold on.
It.
You said just the first one?
Just the first one, yeah. Just the first one. The second one was good. I liked the first one better than the second one. Third and four, they're good, not noteworthy for me. The Red Door, I was disappointed. I was ready for it to actually finish off and actually do what they were going to do. And I didn't realize it was only an hour and 47 minutes. I thought it was like 2.5 hours, and I was like, oh my God, when is this going to end? I was like, can I like finish this tomorrow or something? And I'm like, no, of course not. I can't because I have homework. So I was just like, I was kind of like doing the fast forward thing through the Red Door, like getting to the, you know, and I was like, yeah, the first one is the best one. And I just kind of, I don't know. I liked the first one, but it wasn't the top five.
So the first one has more, it's more, to me, it's more scarier than the second one for sure.
Yeah.
And it has more horror elements in it. The second one is straight up a fucking possession movie. Straight
yeah,
up.
Yeah, for sure.
But Corey, have you seen The Red Door?
I haven't seen The Red Door yet.
I haven't either. So
clearly wait until it comes on Netflix like we saw.
Well,
or you can fucking watch it on Vudu.
Right.
we're gonna split that because I definitely was like, I thought you had The Red Door. And he was like, oh, I do now. And I'm like, thanks. This is not worth $20. So I'm gonna send you 10
with
the thank you card and maybe a my sympathies card. You know?
So
like, gonna start so Corey, my 3-point apology.
Yeah.
Corey,
yeah.
The moral of the story is the fact that we can't trust Carmen on this fucking movie. We have to watch it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, you're gonna have to watch it for yourselves. I don't think it was
Insidious is on my list, but it is not number 7. No.
Yeah.
Where is it on your list there?
Number 2.
Corey? What?
Ooh.
Number 2.
Wow. And mine was 7?
Yeah.
Mine's at number 4.
Wow.
Insidious 2. I refuse to count 3 and 4 as a part of this this little group.
Yeah, I can see that. My bad. 7?
7. So 7 for me. And I feel dirty for ranking it this low, but it's just like every movie above it is just really fucking good. And that is The Right. With Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yep, that's my next one.
This movie is fucking underrated.
That's my number 6.
Sir Anthony Hopkins is just absolutely fantastic in this movie. He's so over the top, but it just fits perfectly in this film. I love how they kind of like slowly bring out the evil in this movie, and you're kind of acting as Michael Kovac throughout, where he, you know, he's kind of lost his faith and he doesn't believe in the devil. And, you know, towards the very end, you're like, nah, this shit's fucking real, man. This shit's fucking real. It's perfectly paced to me. Like, I'm never sitting there going, fuck, how much more time do I have in this movie? I think they really give time to develop that character himself.
And Anthony Hopkins can play Peter Pan and you'd be satisfied with it. Like,
it's true.
True. It's very true. Very true.
I agree.
The dude's just fucking awesome at everything he does. And it's just, as a possession movie, it is so fucking good. And it's, I will argue that it's actually decently scary for the things that they do in that movie. I mean, I'm not jumping out of my skin or anything like that, but like the horror elements and all that, but yeah, for sure. Fuck all that shit.
I'm going to have to rewatch it because I didn't get to watch it this time around. So that was, since it's ranked that high, I'm probably going to have to watch it then. If it's ranked. Yeah. I'll have to watch it again.
So I watched it a couple years ago when I first started kind of keeping track of all the movies that I was watching on Letterboxd. And I ended up giving that movie like a 3 out of 5. And, you know, sometimes you just overthink things a lot. And when I watched it again, this one, I was like, I don't really believe it in my heart that that's 3 stars. So I changed my score and it went up completely. I think I brought it up to like 4 stars.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to watch it again then. So.
And Corey, you said,
that's my number 6.
Number 6.
Oh, wow. So it's, yep. Okay.
Do you have anything else you want to say about the movie before we move on?
No, I mean, that's, I'm with you. And I think that I had watched like what that's based on. There's an episode of, you know, the show A Haunting.
Mm-hmm.
There's an episode early in the series that's the younger priest talking, telling that whole story. So when I watched it, I was like, I know it's going to happen. It's going to be so bad. Oh God, it's going to go downhill so fast. But no, I really like that movie. For a possession movie, it's got everything you need.
Solid.
Except for split pea soup. But he does kind of have some like black shit coming out of his mouth at one point. So, I mean,
hey, what was the name of that movie? it had like it was it told like the very beginning of the movie. What the fuck was it called? It was a real life murder where the chick murdered her entire family. And it was she ends up saying she got possessed by the devil and she ended up calling 911. And they actually have some of that footage in the movie itself. It's at the very beginning of the movie. What is that movie called? She's like, he's like, 911, what's your emergency? And she's like, three people. I killed three people. And then she's like, what does she fucking say? She says, I killed everyone or something like that. It's in a death metal song, and it's really fucking good and a really fucking scary song. I don't visit too often because it kind of scares me a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. But I forget the name of that movie. It's not that great of a movie, but that part I really love.
Was it like The Devil Inside or something?
Yes. I think that's it. The Devil Inside.
It's The Devil Inside. I just Googled it.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I forget.
Looking at my list.
Yeah, it's not on my list. I guess I forgot to.
Forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
I remember it not being like the best, but it was like watchable.
Yeah, it's a found footage movie.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yep. So anyways, yeah, ADD moment.
Yeah. No, it's yeah.
Yeah, sorry. That's okay.
Carmen, what about your number seven? Or number six, excuse
six.
Me.
Conjuring was my number six. Yeah. I know they're not ranked as high as y'all's probably. I like how they I like the build up of the Conjuring more than I like, you know, 2, 3 or whatever, but I like the build up of the woman having bruises and then, you know, like that whole like haunting to possession kind of thing, and like the backstory of the land and, you know, the women killing her kids and stuff like that. I like that whole build up to it. So that's why it's on my number six. And I think it was better than the other ones. So
I'd argue that's one that's legitimately one of the scariest movies. I'd argue.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for a movie to actually scare me. So I think this is why I go through so many horror movies.
Well, you know, we kind of had that discussion a couple years ago when we did the scariest horror movies of all time.
Because
I think the best horror movies are not the same as the scariest horror movies. I think they're completely different categories. Yeah. And it's all very subjective into what you think is scary versus what someone else thinks is scary. Now, I don't think there are legitimately, I would say maybe two horror movies that I've ever watched. Maybe, okay, I'll go three. That I'm legitimately like, I fucking hate watching this movie, but I love watching this movie at the same time. Kind of thing. And two of those movies are on this fucking list.
Okay.
But The Conjuring, it's scary with not only with the elements that it has in it, the horror elements, but it plays with predictability a lot. And especially with the jump scares, which I really appreciate. And I also really hate it at the same time because it gets me.
Yeah. The
Conjuring is my number five.
Is it really? Oh, well, that's your...
It's your number two?
Number dose.
Wow, y'all are... this is... our lists are really... are really different. Very different. So, I think this genre is the scariest genre for me. That
because
I think of.
Because it's real.
Just in case. That's just why I'll never that's why I'll never play with a Ouija board, just in case. I have like no real proof because I have not seen it with my eyes. I haven't been able to touch it. Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things. Like I would rather go up against Michael Myers with a knife than go up against like a demon. That's, to me, that's scarier.
I feel like I would have a better chance with Michael Myers than if I don't I don't know if I am strong enough to get rid of a demon.
Right. I know. Yeah.
Like mentally, I don't think that I am mentally, and I know, I'm just go ahead and say it. I know that I am not, morally and religiously strong enough to get rid of a demon if I got possessed.
Yep. That's exactly it. It's just one of those things where you can't, like, I fight with myself on a regular basis in my mind. So what makes me think that if I get possessed that I won't fight myself on it? You know?
I would argue that I could get rid of a demon pretty easy, because once the demon possesses me, he's like, dude, there's some fucked up shit going on here. I'm fucking peacing the fuck out.
I don't want any part of your life.
Bro, what the fuck do you think about every day?
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's probably one thing I have going for me, too. Like, get inside this head. No, nobody wants to. Yeah. Well, what's your number six?
My number six is going to be It Follows, which I did the review for, and I loved every minute of that review. I think it was almost a 30-minute review by myself. So y'all can check out that review on all the podcast listening apps and whatnot. It's not on YouTube. The best thing, I love it when horror movies do something different, okay? Mm-hmm. They swing for the fences and they do something different, because it's so easy to just be so fucking cliche with this genre itself. And when someone does something different, like, I appreciate it so much more. So this is very unique in the horror genre and this particular subgenre itself. I mean, it has this teenager sex ed. It's kind of drilled into your head throughout, like, all your younger years, right? And the whole idea of, well, why not make a horror movie based around that concept? It kind of conceptualizes abstinence and the horrors of having sex at a young age and, like, STDs. This is basically an STD.
Yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea of the movie is really cool. And it really kind of sets it apart in a genre that feels cliche and very samey a lot. I don't think it's overly scary by any means, but it does have some really good horror elements and kind of like imagery throughout. I mean, old granny walking with her fucking nightgown into a school. I'm like, dude, that's some fucked up shit. Like, that's creepy as fuck.
She has a knee with her too, which I think was hilarious.
Wait, do what?
She has the granny has a knee brace on.
Yes.
She hobbles.
She hobbles.
I just love it. It's great.
I really this is another movie that has fallen under the rule of the two watch rule for me. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the third time I've watched it. And I love it more every single time that I watch it. I love that Stranger Things kind of like 70s, 80s vibe to it, with the synths and electronics and the score. And look, I can go on and on about this fucking movie. Just go check out the review if you are interested in my more in-depth thoughts about it. But it's a really fucking good haunting movie.
That was my number two.
Oh.
Harmon.
I know.
Damn.
Yeah. A stalking ghost that you can't get rid of, like, and that's like the, like, if the person that you have sex with, you give them the haunted herpes and they die because of said haunted herpes, it comes back to you. You have, like, I don't know, like, it's kind of like going into remission and then,
I'm so interested in this.
You have another flare up. That's what that is. That's basically it. So you have to keep on giving said, you know,
haunted herpes
to everybody else. So basically, it's like you're going to have to be a hoe bag if you want to survive. Just saying.
So the thing about that movie is, you know, he has sex with the prostitutes at the very end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And Corey, have you seen this movie? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure I'm not spoiling anything.
Oh, no. I've seen it.
Okay. So he has sex with all the prostitutes at the very end. And I'm like, and then at the very, very end, you see someone kind of following them again. And it's like, I don't know, was that the demon or was that the curse or is it not the curse? It kind of leaves it open to interpretation. Well, the announcement of they follow kind of ruins that interpretation now. It was definitely following them. But like, what a good idea to go have sex with prostitutes, you know? Like, but how did it come back to you so quickly?
Because like, maybe he didn't pick very busy prostitutes.
Yeah, bro, you gotta go to a bigger city, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be going to the city with one prostitute.
Their pimps were not strong with their pimp hand, I'm guessing. Right?
Let me warm my pimp hand.
Yeah. So they didn't get as much business as they should have. Bitches be tripping.
Bitches be tripping. Fucking right.
Yeah.
Corey, what is your number five?
My number five is the original Conjuring.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So I'll save my thoughts for it in a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's the least like Hollywoodized of the Conjurings. Like, because the second one, it kind of starts getting, the second one lost me when they did the what was the tall man thing, the bendy man or whatever, when that thing came out and started chasing him, I was like, I'm done, this doesn't make me happy. You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember the name, the damn guy.
I do know what you're talking about, but it's just funny because I was like, you know, ghost herpes and you're the bendy man.
The crooked man. It was the crooked man. Excuse me. I'm the sorry.
It's Babadook.
So I will, Babadook. I will agree with you. I think it is the least Hollywood-fied Conjuring movie on there. It still has its fucking moments that I roll my eyes with. Like, The Conjuring, look, it's not a perfect movie. By any means, it's not a perfect movie. It does have that Hollywood aspect to it, and I do roll my eyes, but goddamn, everything else about it is perfect.
Good movie.
It is a good movie.
Carmen, you're number five?
Annabelle Comes Home. The third one.
Annabelle movie. Was not expecting that to be on any of
these. I was not expecting that at all.
So when I was a kid, I had a doll that would talk and like feed me, and it would cry, and then you'd have to change it and stuff like that. But it wasn't like they have nowadays, where they are lifelike, but not as lifelike as they were when we were kids. They like had the eyes that went back, you know, like when you tilted the head back, it would close the eyes and stuff like that. Like, you know, and I remember wanting to sleep with it, and my mom would turn it off every night, you know, to make sure that if I didn't roll over on it. Well, we forgot to turn it off one night, and I rolled over on that doll, and it just started wailing. And from then I just, no more dolls. Like, my mom had a whole bunch of porcelain dolls, my grandmother had a whole bunch of porcelain dolls, and they always seem to be staring at you.
Because like they always, are.
Right, but it's like not that, it's not like an inanimate object staring
at you. No, they are. They 1,000% are following you and staring at you. And
right.
And I'm sorry, the thought of you playing with a doll.
I know, hey, that was, I thought that was weird too.
That blows my mind, the thought of you being like, yay, a baby doll. I'm so sorry. I don't know whether you should take that wrong or not, but it really, I think that I perpetually think of you as a like 30-year-old human, like, period. Yeah. Like, you were never a child, ever. Yeah. You were just, yes, you just came in as a 30-year-old sarcastic, grumpy human being.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, look, I had a kid. He's going to be grumpy and miserable like me too. Ta-da. And he's not.
Weird.
I know. So
he looks like a little Grayson, actually.
Our kids, me and Carmen had kids together, and they are Grayson and Riley.
they're what, 7 years apart or 4 years?
Well, Grayson's 17.
So yeah, so they're five years apart, or well, 4 or 5 years apart, because Riley's almost 13. They are like almost spitting images of each other. Yeah. It's so weird. Like, I mean, body, face, like, it's, you know, Riley's going to be gargantuan too. It's so weird. It's, yeah, it's really creepy. But yeah, I played with dolls. I was a cheerleader. I did ballet, jazz, tap. I was in choir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love, yep. I love Corey. I mean no disrespect, but it's probably disrespectful when I say this.
Right. I mean, I'm not trying to offend, but
it's probably offensive.
No. Well, when I told Riley I did ballet, he goes, yeah, he's like, I can't see you as a cheerleader. And Vinny was like, yeah, I can't either. He goes, well, no, like, I can't see you as a cheerleader because, you know, the shape that you are. And I was like, I was not always a potato. I was like, that's rude, Riley.
God damn savage.
Yeah. Riley is pretty quick. Wow. With it. Yeah.
So, little sidebar before I talk about my number five, I think I completely fucked my list up.
We're on number five already.
Do what?
I said we're on number five already. Did you fuck your
yeah.
list up?
Yeah, because when you said doll, I forgot to fucking include Chucky in my fucking list.
See, he's on my honorable mention.
Yeah.
The Child's Play Bro. Is on like my honorable mention because how do you not think about Chucky with a possession? Because I mean, I
totally fucking forgot about him.
We even talked about all the Chucky movies. Like
we did.
Week.
I know. Damn, I fucked that up.
Yeah, because I've never seen Chucky.
If I'm shooting from the hip here, Chucky would be very high on my list. Okay. The first two at least.
Well, yeah.
Now
yeah.
The last two, I will stand by. Those are terrible movies, but they're fucking fun, and I would watch the fuck out of them.
Have you watched the show?
I have not.
So I am currently watching the show. That's the other thing is Rory and I are watching the show on the truck, and it's pretty good. It's worth a watch.
With old Mark Hamill? Wait, no, he did the remake.
No, yeah, no. This is the sci-fi network's show.
No,
it's not Mark Hamill.
That drastically lowers my expectations of it.
It's actually pretty good. And Jennifer Tilly's in it, and I love her. Yeah, I love her. That's the chick from the Seed of Chucky or the Bride of Chucky.
Bride of Chucky.
The blonde that talks real breathy like this.
That's okay. A fucking great impression.
That is good. As soon as you said talks like this, I knew exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, so my number five. Is going to be Deliver Us From Evil.
Okay.
This is on my all-time favorite list, anyways. The reason why I love this movie so much is because, and Carmen and I have already kind of talked about it on previous episodes, I just relate so much to what's in this movie because of the first responder aspect of it. And how that affects someone that kind of deals with bullshit on a consistent basis. You know, it kind of just fucking eats your soul alive. Yeah,
I actually just watched that.
Oh, so good.
It is good.
And it's a little bit different because, you know, typically you don't have like multiple possessed people in the movie rather than just one. So they do kind of change things up a little bit. And the way they connect all the people together to kind of lead back to Sean Harris's character, who is a fucking creepy fucking villain. I will stand by that. Was really great, and it's just it has great horror elements throughout, and yeah, it's just a completely relatable movie.
It was really good.
Yeah,
that was my number four.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah, so I mean, it's close.
Finally, Corey, what is your number four?
It's gonna be the Sinister movies. I love the.
I didn't watch two.
The...
I didn't watch two. Was it good? Two.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just the thought of the demon picking the weakest child to take over and kill the family in really fucked up ways is outstanding. Just outstanding. And then the little kids become ghosty ghosts to help the demon be like, come on, friends. Come do this too.
Right.
Ghosty ghosts.
Watch. Look what I can do.
That Sinister is actually the scariest movie of all time? Like, backed by science?
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I fell asleep.
Harmon, you don't count.
You're done. Corey and I are going to do our own fucking list together, okay?
You're done.
I can't help it. I fell asleep, and I was like, what's the... I said,
Meanwhile, that time we tried to watch the Nazi zombies that was in German and we had to read subtitles, Carmen's like, this is fucking amazing.
I'm telling you, usually every single year that I do a top 10 list with hers, ours are completely different. She just comes up with, I'm like, is that even a fucking movie? Did you just make that shit up in your head? Mm-hmm. Like, does that exist?
That's not real.
Like, I think you just made this shit up for the podcast.
Right. Well, original content.
Right.
Yeah, I fell asleep through the movie. Oops. Yeah. Maybe so I gotta watch it again. Maybe
what is you your should. What is your number four there, Carmen?
Just Deliver Us from Evil.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I like the whole first responder PTSD kind of thing, and mm-hmm. Fighting against demons and multiple demons, and it is kind of creepy. So, yep.
My number four is going to be Insidious and Insidious 2. I love that it's kind of filmed almost kind of like a found footage style of movie. If you kind of look at it, it's almost kind of like almost. It has like a documentary feel to it. It's a documentary, but the way it's filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that really interesting because you don't see many movies kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy as fuck movie. Okay. Creepy as fuck. I really like the old vintage vibe of like the score and especially like the opening title card. And let me tell you guys, this is backed by science. Tiptoe Through the Fucking Tulips is the scariest fucking song ever.
Yes. Every time I hear that, before even the Insidious came out, I remember it was part of something. I can't remember exactly what it is, but every time I hear that song, it does creep me out, and I think of something horror-related. Even before Insidious.
It gives you the heebie-jeebies, for sure.
It does.
Yeah,
and the dude's in there doing the shit to his nails and like, bruh, this.
Yeah,
yeah,
that is what's scary.
Yeah.
Was, what about your number three there, Corey?
Oh, you're gonna hate this.
No,
my number three is The Shining.
Interesting.
That was actually good, but yeah.
I tried to watch that today, but I couldn't get around to it because we were so fucking busy.
If I absolutely had to, now this is where the nerd in me is going to come out. So if I absolutely had to, I would tell. Okay, so Stanley Kubrick's The Shining is phenomenal. I love Jack Nicholson. He plays crazy really, really, really well. It's very believable that he went in here with good intentions and just went batshit nuts and got taken over by this hotel and by these ghosts in there and tried to kill his family and all of that. So that is always going to be a gold standard movie for me. But if you want to go and really get into the Stephen King craziness of it, there is a mini series that's like a three-part mini series that it was like a made for TV movie type thing, and when I tell you it follows the book to the letter. Now it's three part, I think it's three parts and they're like an hour a piece, so you gotta dedicate some time to it, but when I tell you it follows the book perfectly, and it was Stephen King did a lot more with that than he did with Kubrick's, because Kubrick kind of gave him the big fuck you in sounds his movie. Right. And kind of went in all different ways because it was Stanley Kubrick and he could do that. It was 1970s and He was a god. So
Big Dick on Campus.
Yeah. So, but I love either one of them, but I mean, if you, like I said, if you want to get into the Stephen Kingy crazy aspect of it, then you watch the 3-hour one. But if not, The Shining is always going to be top 10 horror for me, period. I love that movie. I know you're not a huge fan, Matt, but I love that movie.
It is a part of my, I keep bringing it up, but it is part of my two watch rule. So I got to watch it a second time before I make a decision on it. But yeah, I didn't
I know you say it's slow, but it's supposed to be slow, and it's supposed to be like, this is nice. These people are, they're going to bond, and he's going to write this great book. And then you go, what in the absolute fuck is happening?
Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I meant to watch it. I ran out of fucking time.
It is good though. It is worth a watch, I think.
For sure.
Carmen, you're number three.
The Pope's Exorcist.
Oh, that's good.
Interesting. Yep. I'm glad you brought this up, because we do need to talk about it.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm going to hold on for just a sec. I mean, y'all can talk. I just got to go. Brian says they have a situation. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
But keep going.
Let's see. Yeah, Pope's Exorcist. I expected it to be campy. I expected them to tell jokes. I don't know. Like, I guess because I saw Russell Crowe, I was like, I'll give it a shot, because I don't think of him as an Italian exorcist. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I think of Russell Crowe, I was like, okay. What did I just lost his name? The guy in the last rite.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins. When I think of, like, Anthony Hopkins, I can see being a priest. Russell Crowe, not so much. So I was like, let me give it a shot. And it was actually surprisingly good. I like the fight. I like the exorcist actually saying okay, like, to being possessed, and him getting possessed and like trying to fight that whole fight of that internal thing was phenomenal. And I'm like, I could do that shit. There's no way I could do that. But, I mean, floating's cool, but there's no way I'd be able to fight that. Asmodeus.
I love the fact that it turns into a Marvel movie at the very fucking end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And then it just, mm-hmm. it straight up turns into a Marvel, like a superhero movie. I'm like, did I click the wrong movie? Did I swap over something? And then they teased how many sequels? 200 sequels?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Legion. But, so when the wall kind of collapsed and the guys were like, oh, I can't see anything, let me light a flare. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then he lights the flare and it just a fireball. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. Like, who doesn't know? Like, who doesn't think of that kind of stuff? Like, it's underground. It's in a chamber. It's been cooped up for a while. There's got to be something there. Like, you know, you don't smell it. You don't, because gasoline and sulfur, that's what they said it smells like. So both are like kaboomy.
Kaboomy.
Why would you have a flare? I don't know. But it was the fact that, like, you know, the one guy gets burned and he was like, my men aren't working here. And you're like, he's like, fuck this shit. And so he's like, what am I going to do? And then, like, the little boy being possessed and then the girl being possessed and, like, throwing everybody around the room. Like, it was just, like, once it started rolling, I just think it kept on getting more entertaining, and it got better. And then, you know, Marvel movie aspects, you know, I really enjoyed it.
I also really appreciated the fact that Russell Crowe played a really badass priest too.
Right? I didn't. That's how
like,
I was just
I talking. Yeah, I was. That was that. I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, I was on the fence about it because that's what I was just telling him while you went to go deal with your like situation, whoever it was. And I expect, you know, Anthony Hopkins, Priest, I can see it. Russell Crowe, I was like, just give it a shot. Let's see.
Yeah.
And it ended up actually being good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my number three is going to be Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of the best pure horror movies on the list. It's unpredictable. It's got great characters and a story. Some of it is cliche, but it's different enough to get a pass in my book.
Shut up, Carmen.
Do what?
I said, shut up, Carmen.
Yeah, right? You don't count.
You don't count.
And I also kind of love the how, you know, typically every horror movie, they have the haunting, and it kind of gets worse. And then towards the end of the movie, right before the third act, they discover who the demon is, and they got to stop the demon, right? Well,
there was no stopping it.
Do what?
There was no stopping it.
Not this one, no. This but one, like in typical horror movies, But in this one, you're kind of learning things as he's learning. It's almost kind of like a mystery movie. And you're learning about the lore of that ghoul through the entire movie. And it's kind of like a slow, steady revelation. And by the time he figures it out, it's fucking too late. And then the aspect of adding like the Super 8 film found footage aspect of it just makes it so fucking creepy. So fucking creepy. Yeah. Love this movie. And the fact that Carmen and I have talked about this before, when evil wins in a horror movie, it gets a fucking bump on my list.
Yeah. Because fuck the power of friendship. This, it doesn't work.
Corey, what is your number two?
The Insidious movies.
That's right. That's right. Carmen, your number two?
It Follows.
That yeah, we mine. Talked about that. Yeah.
Yep. The ghostly herpes.
Yep. Ghosty herpes.
Ghosty herpes. All right, my number two is The Conjuring. I've talked about this numerous times on the podcast, so I'm not going to beat a dead horse. It's just, I love the unpredictability with the jump scares and whatnot. I think, I don't know. I think, like Corey kind of mentioned earlier, it's the least Hollywood-fied movie out of the Conjuring movies, which I really appreciate. There are some cliches in it, but I mean, when you think about it, I think they kind of started some of those cliches. So is it really cliche from the time period? I don't know. That's one that you could argue with. It has the best story out of the Conjuring movies, and it has the best set of characters on top of that. So Conjuring number two for me. Now it's time to reveal our numero unos. Corey, what you got?
My number one is going to be Fallen.
Fallen.
Oh, that's right. I remember you talking about that.
So it's not a horror movie in the sense of horror movies. Denzel Washington is a detective who, the start of the movie, he goes to see this guy who was a killer, who's on death row, who's fixing to get executed. And the guy's he kind of reminds me of like a Charles Manson, like, just all over the place and talking crazy. And then you realize that he was trying to possess Denzel Washington, but what ends up happening is it is a possession through touch. So he touches the prison guard right before he dies, who gets possessed, who goes and kills someone, and he touches someone else, and then they get possessed with this demon. And it just goes around. There's a part where Denzel's on the street and the demon is talking to him, and every time somebody bumps somebody, the demon jumps all over. It's such a great movie.
Interesting. I meant to watch that. Such a great
movie.
I know, I meant to watch it too, and I did not watch it. I should have watched it. Well, that does sound, it sounds like a really good movie.
It's Denzel Washington in it, so it's got to be amazing.
Yeah.
Does he make a bad movie? I say he doesn't.
It's Denzel and like John Goodman's in it. Like there is, it's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of.
Carmen, I don't want to trash your number one before you even say it, but tell us what ridiculous movie you have at number one.
What do you think is going to be my number one?
Honestly, you surprise me every time, so I don't know.
Corey, you have any suggestions on what my number one would be?
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it was like Llamapocalypse or whatever that
Llamapocalypse
terrible Velocipaster. Movie was. Velocipaster.
No, it was actually Evil Dead Rise.
Oh. Okay.
Watching the remakes. I didn't really like the remake, the Evil Dead remake. Just because of nostalgia, and I'm a huge fan of Bruce Campbell. The Evil Dead is always gonna be Evil Dead for me. It's gonna have to be. But with Evil Dead Rise is, it's the fact that evil still wins.
Mm-hmm.
Even you put them through a wood chipper, doesn't fucking matter. And the fact that she goes after her kids like right away, and the kitchen scene where she's up on the counter and you can hear her chewing glass.
The glass, yeah.
I actually was like, oh man, God, and you can see everything dripping, and when she swallows, you see the glass, and it just kept going. I know, and that's what I love about it, is like no one's safe. Like there's no fighting it. Like no matter how much you love your kids, it doesn't matter. This deadite is stronger. And that's what I loved about it. It's supposed to be evil wins because we're just people. We're not, right. And that's why it's my number one.
You know, I think the remake is better for me personally, but I would argue, and you'd probably agree with me. I think the mom, the mom of the kids, when she gets transformed into a demon, when she gets possessed, her villain design, like the makeup, her acting, I would argue one of the greatest villains in horror.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would argue that.
And for a demon with all the makeup-y stuff and everything like that, still pretty hot.
There it is.
Yep. Can't disagree with
it. There it is.
I can't disagree with it.
Still, like, especially when like you're like looking at the little peephole thing on the door.
She's like, that was a really good horror moment right there.
Mommy's here.
And she's just killing people in the hallway left and right. And I'm like, yes, yes. it was great. It was, beautiful.
All right, so my number one is, it might be a debate.
No.
Carmen probably already knows where I'm going with this one. Because I asked her about this movie, and she disagreed with me. But I had to include it on my list, because I wholeheartedly believe this deserves to be on the haunting side of the subgenre.
The Witch doesn't count.
The Witch at number one.
It doesn't count.
Fucking counts, okay? It fucking counts.
He possesses a goddamn goat.
It's a possession.
It's a haunting more than it is anything.
The Witch, really?
Right? I know.
The Witch is my third favorite movie of all time.
You're fired.
It is my favorite horror movie.
Really?
Yes. You're fired. I love that movie.
You're fired. See, look at her face. She knows.
So you don't think that serves? You don't think that goes as a haunting movie?
No. I'm not arguing the haunting or even the possession part, because I mean, technically, it's the devil and blah blah blah.
You're arguing it being on my list to be number one.
I'm arguing it that, and I have watched it. Like, I've watched it three times, and I still it was very lackluster. Like, really?
Yeah. So,
he's fired.
Again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse or a dead goat in this this instance.
Actually, no, the goat isn't dead.
The goat was not dead.
What was funny is I did a review on Letterboxd, and I said, the goat of all horror, pun fucking intended.
That's pretty funny.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm not ashamed by it. Fuck you.
Wow.
Right? Oh, man.
So I keep bringing it up, and I'll bring it up for this reason. The witch is the reason why I have a minimum two watch rule on horror movies or any movie in general. It is the reason, because I did not like it the first time I watched it. I disliked it a little bit less the second time that I watched it. Liked it on the third time that I watched it. And then I think it was like the fourth or fifth time that I watched it is when it went bloop.
So you mean to tell me you had to watch it five times before you liked it?
Yes, I'm going to be completely honest. It was the minute that the game changer was turning on subtitles.
So it annoyed you enough to make it your number one?
Yes. Look. Sometimes things are like that. Those are your best loves in life, man. Is you have to work at it. Okay, it's like marriage.
So your wife had to annoy you five times before you had to marry her.
I will not answer that on this podcast. You go fuck yourself.
I did have to say it though. It was
kind of
funny.
Poor Tina.
I like her.
So yeah, the witch, the devil haunting the family, everything's crashing around them. The devil's kind of infecting them all, kind of causing them to go crazy from the sheer amount of like bad luck they have dealt with. And then at the very end, Thomasin kind of gives herself to the devil and becomes a witch. Very atmospheric movie. I absolutely love the score in this. It's actually one of my favorite scores of any horror movie. Do what?
I said the music was good. Soundtrack was good.
When the witch goes in there and kills the fucking baby at the very beginning, one of my favorite moments in any horror movie ever. This is definitely kind of started the art house kind of subgenre for sure. You know, like Hereditary, all those movies kind of followed suit from this. But I look, for people out there that are kind of arguing that this might not fit the list, I think it fucking fits the list. And it is my favorite horror movie of all time.
Of all time.
All time. So Carmen and I did.
Your favorite horror movie of all time.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So, okay. Little caveat, okay? Favorite horror movie of all time. Halloween is like a cunt hair right below it. Halloween is easier to watch.
Halloween is a lot easier to watch.
Yeah.
It's kind of like comparing Batman Begins. I mentioned Batman on this podcast already. Batman Begins versus Dark Knight. Like, Batman Begins to me is an easier watch than Dark Knight.
Mm.
But the Dark Knight is a vastly better movie. So that's kind of where I land.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
So disappointed in you.
I don't even know.
Bruh, you put Insidious at like number 9. I don't want to hear shit from you. And then you had some kind of movie called what the fuck was it? I done forgot it. But you had like Annabelle Comes Home on it. I mean, what?
Yes. You did have Annabelle Comes Home.
Yes. I don't want to hear shit from you about my list.
Because dolls are fucking creepy, but at least it's a haunted movie. At least it counts. The Witch does not count.
The devil is haunting the family.
The witch. Nope. I think the witch counts. I think it counts. It just still
is. So the witch does the devil's bidding. Yeah. She's like, I don't think she actually possesses or haunts. She puts spells on them. I guess maybe technicality you can call that a possession then, because it's spell related. To do his bidding.
I'm not gonna lie, it seems like make a mountain out of a molehill, and I think it's fine.
Like I'm gonna be completely honest. Like Carmen, here's the subgenre that the witch is, which is haunting, and you're doing this, you're going right around it.
You won't touch the, you won't touch it. You won't just, you won't.
I'm not touching the tip.
You won't touch the tip.
No, I'm not touching the tip because the tip does not reach the tip.
You are beating around the bush. Okay. And you're carefully selecting your words to not make it haunting.
Maybe.
It's kind of like you're using synonyms for the fucking word.
Cinnamon and sweet potato pie.
Cinnamon.
Topatoes.
Topanga.
depending on the word you use, yes, it is technically a haunting possession movie and not.
Would you have put it over Child's Play?
I would put Child's Play probably if I had to say Child's Play might be like 2 or 3.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I don't know if it would be over Conjuring for me. So it might be 3. When I tell you I grew up on Halloween and Child's Play, it's just for whatever reason, I just, even though we talked about it a couple weeks ago or last week, totally just went right outside my head and I didn't even fucking think about it.
Yeah, I forgot to watch it too. And we were even talking about The Cult of Chucky, and I've never seen Cult of Chucky, and I've actually wanted to see it. But
I don't think I've seen that one either.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's going to it expecting it to be terrible, and it's fucking great.
Yeah,
that's always a pleasant surprise.
Corey, you had some honorable mentions. You want to throw those out there?
So I had Ghostbusters.
Yes.
That does count.
Okay. I had, Carmen's going to laugh at this one. So I thought about throwing a documentary in there only because it's Scooby Douche. It's Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures. It's Demon House. And I almost threw that in there, but I didn't.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Zach Douche Bagans, yeah.
Zach Douche Bagans. Brian and I love Ghost Adventures. Like, that is our guilty pleasure. Yeah. We watch Ghost Adventures every week, and we call it Scooby Douche.
Yep.
Or we call it Dude Bra, because all they say is Dude Bra.
It is entertaining, though. It really is.
The Pope's Exorcist was one of my honorable mentions. And I kind of put a question mark on this. What about Venom?
Not a horror movie.
No, it's in his head.
But he's possessed.
Yep, it's the witch. So does Venom. Depending on the words you use.
Oh, Carmen's going to join your side just because.
No, actually.
She's petty as fuck.
Venom, she does make a good point, though. That Venom, actually, that was a good movie. I did like Venom. I mean.
Where are the horror elements in that movie?
Well, that's why I put a question mark by it. Because
does it have to be a horror?
Okay, so let's scratch Venom. The other honorable mention, just because I thought it was fucking hysterical, was Jennifer's Body.
Oh.
I actually watched that for the first time this month, or last month, and I gotta say, the kiss scene, that's top tier. Top fucking tier.
That's top tier.
Top tier. And actually, you know, like I've mentioned, I'm not a fan of comedy and horror. The movie's fucking pretty good. It's pretty good. I'd definitely watch it again. Not for that one scene, but for the whole movie.
That actually reminds me of kind of like a American Pie trying to be serious, but not. That does kind of remind me of that too.
It just 100% fits Megan Fox's personality.
It does, right. Like, I feel like she didn't really have to act a lot.
Right.
It's just kind of like,
hey, come look at this script. Yeah. You really just be yourself, okay?
Right. Basically, just go in and do what you always do, and and maybe kiss Amanda Seyfried. Like,
there you go. Yeah. Yep. Wow.
I think the only honorable mention that I would make, that I would say, and it's not even, it's not an honorable mention in the sense that it's like number 11 or 12 or anything like that. The Ring would be, it was like right on the cusp of, in my top 10. Hereditary is right there. But When Evil Lurks, it came out this year. It's on AMC and Shudder. It has a unique spin on the possession genre, which is why I am saying it's an honorable mention. I don't think it's a, I don't think it's as great as everybody says it is. A lot of people are saying it's the best horror movie of the year and one of the best horror movies in recent years. I probably wouldn't go so far as to saying that. It has some really, really great moments, but it's also surrounded by fucking bullshit on top of that. It is a Spanish film, so the entire movie is in subtitles. It essentially, the whole world knows about the rotten, and basically the devil possesses you and he just rots your body from the inside out. And also he goes and fucking kills people on top of that. So there's like rules. So it's kind of like Zombieland, where they have rules that they can't fucking do. Like you can't shoot them with a gun, because that just makes you the possessed one at that point. There's several rules. Really, really great horror elements in it. And I don't want to spoil it. There were a couple moments that I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's fucked up. Like, goddamn. Like, it was some decent kills in the movie for sure. I don't know. Could have been a lot better. But that's just me. So y'all go check it out if y'all are interested. That is When Evil Lurks.
Have y'all seen The Possession of Michael King?
Sir Michael King?
No, yeah, but but I know Michael King.
When did he get possessed? That explains a lot about his personality.
It does. He's gonna listen and go, yeah.
Yeah. No, The Possession of Michael King is actually it was one of those things where you're like, oh no, I wouldn't do that. That's not right. You're not supposed to do that. Guy's wife gets killed, and she like basically like doesn't look both ways before picking up a coin out of the street, because you know adults do that and they don't pay attention. But basically she dies and he's pissed and he wants to find out whether or not he does a documentary, and he wants to prove that the devil doesn't exist, demons don't exist, there is no God. And so he goes and seeks out necromancers, devil worshippers and stuff, and to get possessed himself to prove that it's not real. And yeah, and you watch things slowly progress and getting worse and getting worse, and like he slowly goes crazy and tries to kill his family, and he tries to fight it basically because he's like, oh shit, this is real, like fuck my life kind of thing, you know. So that was actually that's it almost made my top 10, but it's definitely worth watching because I've seen it three times, I think.
Wow.
And it's still worth watching because of the madness that consumes him. It's, you know, that's the just in case kind of thing. That's why you don't play with Ouija boards. Absolutely. Just in case. Yeah. So that one is definitely worth a watch. And The Possession Hour. You too. Need to watch that movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's entertaining. Matt won't like it because it's kind of more of a comedy, but I think you'll like it. I think you'll find you'll giggle quite a bit.
Oh,
in
good,
it.
Good.
Yeah. So I do like it. It's that one almost made my top 10 as well, but it was a little bit too hokey for it to be, surprisingly enough, a little too hokey for me to actually reach my top 10. So.
That's fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got some movies I need to check out. I got them all wrote down.
Yep.
Good.
Well, guys, y'all let us know in the comments below what you think about our list. Let us know how obnoxious, not obnoxious, is not the right word I wanted to use. That very poor
obnoxious
choice of words.
Yeah.
Do what?
Obnoxious about the
I was going to say how, I guess how
Russian movie.
Wrong Carmen's list is compared to me and Corey's.
Yeah.
I will say this. Corey and I are kind of a little more similar than I thought we were going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The typical Carmen having a different list than mine continues.
Yep.
Which is fun. We're not talking about the same movie multiple times, you know?
I think we were close on Deliver Us from Evil. I think it was your number 5. It was my number 4.
Yep.
Yeah, close. I mean, we have one.
One.
We had one.
We had one.
I think we do actually have one every year. Just one, though, that are like really, really close. But other than that, they differ completely.
No, it's usually 20 movies that we talk about in that damn episode.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, guys, well, I appreciate y'all joining me for this episode.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to do it finally. Finally, we're not busy.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for watching all these horror movies with me throughout the month to prepare for this. It's been great. Looking forward to next year, which I think we agreed I want to do on slasher films next year.
Yes.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, guys, let us know in the comments below what you think about our list. What is your favorite horror movie of all time? And I don't know, drop a link down below. Maybe we'll go check it out. But that's gonna be it from us. We will catch y'all next time on another episode. Laters.